the greatest among you must be the servant. This is such a strong theme of Jesus' teaching, and I think it's a very hard thing to practice. This concept of the greatest being the servant really does come through if you were to read through the different Torah commands that guided Jewish life. In fact, the Israelites, when they came into the Promised Land, weren't even supposed to have a king, weren't supposed to have one person that was exalted over the others. No, God was to be their king. But if they did have a king, the Torah said, the king was supposed to see himself no greater than any other Israelite. That's in the Torah commands. This is pretty radical, ancient stuff. No wonder Jesus tells his disciples then to listen to the Torah, listen to what is being taught by the scribes and the Pharisees, but do not follow their example. For they did things to be seen. They loved seats of honor. They dressed in a way that showed off their holiness. Thus they preach the Torah, but they did not practice. And I can't entirely blame these Pharisees, these scribes. For this teaching to act as a servant, it's tough. And so few of us know how to trust this way of life. And even if you think you're doing it, another way of living, I think, easily slips in. Take Lent, for example. It's easy for us to maybe take on sometimes more than we can bite, or to give up something really rigorous for the sake of it being rigorous, rather than seeing Lent as a time to make our lives more simple so that we might be of greater service to others. And even though I have heard this teaching countless times, to not seek out honor, to not strive for recognition, so many of my life goals, my patterns, my habits have been shaped to the contrary. And even though I've lived my whole life as a follower of Jesus, hearing this teaching probably year after year in Mass, it's easy to listen to the voices that pulled me and pull me in the opposite direction. For example, I can remember distinctively being a high school student and thinking, if I don't receive recognition or honor for my accomplishments, then who am I? In fact, I was told over and over and over, colleges, they love honors. They love seeing you do tons of extracurriculars. So I worked really hard to do as many as I possibly could. I was on cross country, soccer, track. I played a musical instrument. Sometimes I would run cross country practice and then go to my soccer practice after. Not to mention I was going to school all day and I would have homework late that night. I went to my church youth group, so I did community service. On the weekends, I would have sports, of course. And oh, I would take a zero period starting before 7 a.m. just to make sure I could get enough classes in. And I mean, I took as many advanced placement classes as I could. I couldn't get behind. I applied to prestigious clubs. I ran for student government. I thought, I have to do all of this. I have to be seen. And I was. And I won awards. I received recognition. Did I do all of this for show? In part, yeah. I wanted to prove to my peers that I was just as good as them. Prove to myself I was good enough. Prove to a university, you want me. I clung to my resume, to my ideas of who I was. And if it was Lent in high school, I would give up the hardest thing I could think of, something like no sugar, just to prove to myself I could do it. If a Pharisee had tied up a heavy burden for me and said, carry it, I would have unreflexively replied, sure, easy, how far? After these 4 years of toil in high school, I went to college. But when I got there, I didn't have the same notoriety I had in high school. I didn't know how to play the same achievement game. And I had this haunting feeling. Did my life mean anything? Sure, I had deep friendships, perhaps more robust and meaningful than I had ever formed in my life. I made friends with people who were deeply curious about how to live well. I had these late-night conversations with friends processing the complexity of life, like processing through their parents getting divorced, or processing through the death of their brother. Talking about the excitement and heartbreak of college relationships. And in the classroom, I had learned to open my mind wide, to see the world in new perspectives, and challenge my once-held beliefs about how I thought the world worked. But when I graduated college, I graduated with no accolades, no high honors, no awards. Just another student in the crowd of thousands. Sure, I had good friends, but I didn't have the prestige that I had once felt. And I felt like a failure. Around the same time when I was finishing college, my younger sister was graduating from high school. And I remember putting together this book for her of letters that people had written to her as she transitioned into the stage of young adulthood and out of high school. And I distinctively remember reading the letter my dad wrote to her. My dad, mind you, is not a verbose person. In fact, he's a man of very few words, when he writes especially. But this is what he wrote to her in the letter. Some parents are proud of their kids for their accolades and honors, for their accomplishments and awards. I am proud of you for the person you are. I see the way you treat your friends and other people. You really care for others. You really love people well. People take notice of that, and that makes me so proud. This totally rocked me. In chasing after the need for prestige, had I missed the depth of my relationships as a measure of my life? Had I missed what life is truly measured by? The gospel message came through to me in my sister, someone who didn't receive all of the recognitions I did in high school, didn't play the game of proving herself by picking up heavy burdens, carrying them to prove something about herself, didn't do things really to be seen. Rather, she chose to love well. And when we love well, we choose to be a servant to others. People saw her actions, noticed, and were changed by it. And not changed in the way where they rushed to pick up a heavier load of extracurriculars, but were simply freed by the person she was. Needless to say, this was a conversion moment for me. It was an invitation to let go of this desire for greatness and rather try to begin to see myself as an equal to all. For I really think the gospel comes through to us not in people who are exalted, but through people who live normal, seemingly unglamorous lives, but do the hard work of loving and serving. Like my friend who is a new father and humbly changes another diaper of his 2-year-old or wakes up in the middle of the night to hold his son after he's had a nightmare and tells him it will be okay. Or my husband, who years back spent his birthday in the hospital with his little brother while he underwent brain surgery. Or a friend of mine, or a student of mine who will never be the top of her class, but stays up late to make birthday cards by hand for her friends to celebrate them the next day. Or teachers I have met who have been showing up for teenagers day after day for 30 years, still excited to teach their subject. Normal, unglamorous. And this invitation to live the gospel, then, it's open to us all. The only criteria is humility and servanthood. And humility says we don't have to have all the answers. Humility says we can rely on our neighbors for help, that we don't have to shoulder the burdens alone. And we can stop striving for high places of honor that will never satisfy us anyways. So after college, after I began to have some pretty deep revelations about how I was ordering my life, I met the Jesuits through doing the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, and I fell in love with Ignatian spirituality. So allow me to end with a prayer that you might know well from Ignatius that has helped me on this road of recovery, that has helped me turn away from striving for greatness and towards the path of humility, away from needing specific titles or clinging to my resume or my ideas about myself, and towards the desire to actually try to love and serve more totally. And what I love about this prayer that I'll read in a moment is that every time I say it, a wave of relief comes over me. The burdens, I feel like I can put them down. I hope it does the same for you. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own, you have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.